Esther also had some excuses at first, like Moses is the wife. She shouldn't walk into obedience. And let's see what conversation took place to help spur her on to obedience. In Esther 4, verses 12 through 17, let's read this together. It says, "So they told Mordecai Esther's words." Okay? And Mordecai is her cousin, one that, you know, is a guard in the palace, and he's let her know what the situation is. It's a dire situation. An order, an edict has been brought forth that all the Jews will be exterminated. Okay, and of course, Esther's a Jew, but nobody knows that. Mordecai is, and so he warns her, okay? And Esther, you know, they're having this conversation, okay? This isn't text messaging. This is like almost like telephone, right? Their servant goes and tells that person, and then that person has their servant go tell that person. And I'm surprised they was able to keep anything straight. I mean, that's a miracle right there in and of itself. Okay, but eventually, Mordecai receives word that Esther is like, "What do you want me to do? Like, if I go before the king," because the king's had a really strange rule. If you ever noticed reading the Old Testament, some of these kings had some really oddball rules. Like, that. I don't know if that happens when you get really powerful and you just get a little goofy, but, you know, nobody could come stand before him unless he requested their presence, and if they did, he could put them to death or extend out his golden scepter and they would live. So Esther's like, "What do you want me to do? If I go before the king, I just got in this, I don't want to be here. I'm the new queen. I don't even want to be here. Okay, God, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't." We've all been like that before, right? We've had a situation we find ourselves in, like, "I don't even want to be here. Like, this isn't where I'm supposed to be. This isn't making sense to me. And on top of that, you want me to go stand before the king. I'm new. I don't know if he even really likes me. Like, he's going to kill me. You know, like, this is going to be it. Like, what do you want me to do about it?" Okay, and then so Mordecai sends word back to Esther. And he says this, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?' And Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan,'" that's a tongue twister, "'and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him." We see a recurring theme here. You know, we were given a word about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, he doesn't, but we're not bound. And Esther basically comes to that same point of walking in obedience, in faith towards God, that if I perish, I perish, but I am going to go forth, and I am going to live in faith, and I am going to rise to the occasion that God has put me on this earth. Because each one of us need to say, on a personal level, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Guys, whether we like it or not, many of us may be kind of in that same place, given current circumstances, situations, the way things appear to be going in the world in general, not just our own nation, but all around the place. Okay, we see things that point more and more to signs of the coming of Jesus Christ, the returning of our Savior, and things are going to get challenging. And many of us may be like, "Why me? Why now? Why here? Why am I here?" And most importantly, sometimes it can be personal to the point where we're like, "What about my kids? What about my grandkids? What about my younger loved ones?" Okay? But guys, each and every one of us are put here on this earth right now, sovereignly by God, by his design, by his choice. You are God's chosen for this appointed time in the world. Amen? Okay, so I want you guys to be encouraged this morning. I want you to be stirred up in your faith that this is something that is personal, that we have to resolve, like Moses had to, like Esther have to. And then we see how it impacts everyone else around them. Okay, because when you guys get personal with God and you commit to a faith life with him, not living in excuses, but living in faith, okay, then we'll see the hand of God move mightily through you and upon you and then touch the lives of the people that are around you. Amen? Okay, so I know we find ourselves in this similar way, okay? But church, we have to keep that in our minds, in our hearts, and stay focused on the fact that God sovereignly chose us, okay? Because you know what? We could stand back, and we can try to slink back out of our positions of authority as the church, but guys, that never goes well for the church or for the world. Okay, the world needs us. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill, a lamp on a stand, and we have to rise up in faith to the appointed time that God has called us to. Okay? So God cannot use excuses. He can only use faith. And guys, this is something that is personal between us and him that we have to resolve right where we're at. Okay? So let us turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. And I want to encourage you guys with just a few more scriptures, and then we'll land this plane here soon. As we turn there, we may not know, obviously, the entirety of the future, what the world is going to look like for, you know, us, for our kids, but we know that God is faithful, and that we know that we have an opportunity. You know, whenever I'm recruiting volunteers or recruiting someone to handle maybe a certain part of an event or something like that in children's church, I'm like, hey, got an opportunity for you. And by now, they usually kind of smile at me, you know, that little, okay, like, what's going on here? But guys, we really, truly do have an amazing opportunity that's set before us, okay, where we are called of God, sovereignly appointed, put here for such a time as this. And God has given us everything we need, okay? And over and above that, okay? So let's read in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, in verse 8, okay? And this will describe what many of us are in, what situations are, what circumstances are, but then it also provides an opportunity to see God's provision, to see his blessing, to see his breakthrough, to see us in victory in every situation. And it says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. So guys, man, many of us are like, yeah, I totally feel persecuted, hard-pressed, okay? I feel struck down at different points in time, okay? And God knows each and every one of you. He knows each and every one of your hearts. He knows each and every individual.